Okay, so despite the name Firefly, these insects are actually beetles. There are over 2,000 species of fireflies in the world. Okay, so you have, for example, your synchronous fireflies that light up the Great Smoky Mountains during their annual mating period. But you've also got other types of fireflies that don't give off a glow at all in adulthood. Why and how fireflies do or don't glow is getting better understood by scientists. A recent study in the Journal of the American Chemical Society looks at the chemical reaction that essentially lights a firefly's lantern. And joining me now to discuss how this new finding contributes to the study of fireflies is Sarah Sander. She's a postdoctoral associate in molecular biology and genetics at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, and she just finished her PhD at the University of Georgia. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. The other day, I have to admit, it was dusk. And we were out in the country. I was with my kids, and they saw fireflies for the first time, and it was wondrous. How? And they said to me, Mom, why are they lighting up? How do they do that? And I'm ashamed to say I did not have an answer, but you're here now. So how would it? How should I have explained it to them?
So those fireflies that you saw out at dusk were probably using these flash signals that you saw as a mating signal. So you were looking probably at males signaling to females down on the vegetation. And when a female sees the specific flash that describes her species, she'll reply with a flash of her own.
Gotcha.
And okay. So that's likely what you were seeing.
And how they actually light up. Did this new finding on the chemical reaction that causes a firefly to glow, does that solve a mystery that people have been wondering about?
Yeah, so we've been interested in firefly light for many, many years. The foundational work goes back about 60 years. And then when the gene was for the luminescence was cloned in the 80s, we've been very interested in how this light is produced. And so this recent work is really interesting because it's filling in the gaps. We know the major players. So there's an enzyme called luciferase and a substrate, luciferin, and they react together in the presence of magnesium and energy and oxygen to make this light. But we don't really know the specific substeps in this reaction. And mm-hmm. So this finding is very exciting to try to piece together this reaction and how it works.
And how could it help you in other ways to understand them? Could it help you to understand how the firefly light evolved? What other ways will it sort of push you along in understanding them better?
Right. So I'm really interested in how firefly light has evolved, both the presence and absence of light, but also in light color. So as you said before, there's over 2,000 species worldwide, and they make different colors. So some are yellow, some are green, some are more orange. And we know from some studies that the actual sequence of the luciferase is involved in color changes.
Hmm.
And so I'm also interested in how their eyes have evolved to see these different colors. And so this research on how the reaction works can really help inform studies of how light production relates to signal color in natural firefly populations.
And do these different colors of light serve different purposes? You mentioned mating a minute ago. Other stuff too?
Right. So we think it might have something to do with the environment. So if you're in a particular environment, say out at dusk in the woods, there's a lot of light around. It's reflecting off of leaves. So it's a very green background light. So you might want a yellow signal that contrasts with that ambient light so that your signal will be picked up by a female and you will get that mating opportunity. So we're sort of interested in pursuing how these light color changes happen evolutionarily and why.
I'm Anoush Samarodi. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. So, Sarah, I just want to ask you, am I right in thinking that the lantern organ that fireflies have as larvae, it's different than the ones that they have as adults? Is that right?
That's true. So what you can do, what previous studies have shown, is that you can actually use a laser to ablate the light, so burn off the light on a larvae, allow that larva to undergo metamorphosis, and then it will emerge as an adult with a perfect adult light organ. And so they're very different structures that perhaps use the same genes, the luciferase and the using all these different components, but in a very different way. And so we're also interested in how this works.
I mean, is that what you're doing in your fun time, Sarah? You're lasering off bioluminescent organs? Or I'm dying to know, how did you get into this?
So I usually spend my time driving around the eastern U.S. with a net, a car full of tubes, and I'm trying to find many different species to measure their light color and look at the genes, so their luciferase gene and their opsin gene, which underlies their visual sensitivity, and see how these two genes have evolved together to let them see the different signal colors.
I mean, when we caught these fireflies on our fingers, they're oddly docile when they land. And they seem to not mind sort of crawling over a hand. But I want to know, like, you're the expert. What are your tips for spotting fireflies this summer? And is it okay to catch them?
It's definitely okay to catch them. One recommendation I would give is to, first of all, when you go out, don't turn on any lights. So fireflies are disturbed by lights. They're actually light pollution, we think, is a really big problem for natural firefly populations. So don't turn on any lights. Turn off your lights in your house if you can, or your outdoor lights, and you'll be able to see a lot more. And then when you catch them, make sure you don't have bug spray on your hands. That might be something that would help. And in terms of keeping them overnight, I know lots of people like to keep them in jars overnight. It's actually not the amount of air that they have that's the problem. It's the humidity. So if you put a little bit of apple in with them, like a little slice of apple, that'll keep them nice and happy. I've kept them in the lab for about 14 days with slices of apple. So.
No way. My 8-year-old is going to be so excited to hear this information. Okay. We're going to go for it this weekend. Thank you so much, Sarah Sander. She's a postdoctoral associate in molecular biology and genetics at Cornell University. Thank you, Sarah.
You're very welcome.
Did you know that different firefly species have different flash patterns? You can learn to speak firefly using SciFry's Nature Guide. Go to sciencefriday.com/fireflies. One last thing before we go this hour. A few weeks ago, we showed you a macroscope video about fluid dynamics and lollipops. And we asked the age-old question, how many licks does it take to finish off a lolly? Leif Ristroff from the NYU Applied Mathematics Lab told us,
we arrived at an estimate of 1,000 licks to get to the center of a lollipop.
But that was just an estimate based on theory and mathematical models, not yumminess. We wanted hard data, so we asked you, and over 100 of you responded, taking the time to lick a lollipop for us and record your observations, and no, 3 was not a valid answer. We had answers from 40 licks to 2,056, with a lot in the 500 to 1,000 range. And we learned that it's a harder question than it sounds. What exactly is the definition of a lick? How much of a role does tongue roughness or saliva juiciness play? Unfortunately, we're not going to settle this today, but if you want to help us design a better experiment, visit sciencefriday.com/lollipop experiment for more.